Amen. I could go home now and feel good. Amen. The Holy Spirit's a tough act to follow. Amen. I just pray that we just continue in that same spirit. Please open your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I love the Gospel of John. Love John himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Love the love book. It's a love book. Book that was written and recorded so that those who read it would believe and come to know the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is my favorite book. I believe it's every preacher or evangelist's favorite book. Amen. It's where we get the most famous scripture, "For God so loved the world," amen, "that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We're in a series here at Truth Tabernacle called All Things New. And God is doing a new thing, amen, and I'm excited to be a part of it. But we talked about, in the first week, we talked about a new thing. It was a prophetic message about what God wanted to do and what he was doing. Then we talked about a new start, amen. Every now and then, you get sidetracked, you sin, you mess up, or you have some struggles you go through and you need a new start. And then last week we talked about a new name, glory to God. There's a name above all names. And when we suffer, we can look to that name, amen, and we can draw strength from that name. And this morning I want to talk to you, and I think it's very fitting for this community after the death of that young girl. It's a new peace, a new peace, a new peace. I have a funny story I'd like to read to you before we begin reading the scriptures. A man had fallen between the rails in the subway station. People were all crowding around trying to get him out before the train ran over him. They were all shouting, "Give me your hand, give me your hand," but the man would not reach up. Joe elbowed his way, not our Joe, another Joe, brother. Joe elbowed his way through the crowd and leaned over the man. "Friend," he asked, "what is your profession?" He said, "I'm an IRS agent," gasped the man. "In that case," said Joe, "take my hand." The IRS agent immediately grasped Joe's hand and was hauled to safety. Joe turned to the amazed crowd and declared, "Never ask an IRS agent to give you anything. They don't know how to give, they know how to take it away." Amen. Thank God this morning that he knows how to give. And he knows how to give us peace in our time of need. John 14, verse 26, before we get into our text, says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not the peace like the world gives. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The risen Christ brings us peace. Amen. And he had appeared to Mary and then to his disciples in our text this morning. John 20, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When the supernatural touches the natural, there's always two messages that God's trying to illustrate to us. One is peace be with you, and the next is fear not. When we're in his presence, when the Holy Spirit is moving mightily, there are two things. One, he's saying, don't be afraid. Even if you're fixing to die, I've come to give you peace. Fear not. You know, Americans, we're afraid of a lot of things. There was an article in USA Today, and it said, what Americans are afraid of. And it was a scientific poll. 54% of Americans are afraid of being in a car crash. 53% are afraid or very afraid of having or getting cancer. 50% are afraid of inadequate Social Security. 49% of not having enough money for retirement. 36% of food poisoning from meat. You say, we're fasting, shut up about meat, amen. 35% are afraid of getting Alzheimer's. 34% are scared of pesticides on their food. 33% of being a victim of individual violence. 32% of being unable to pay current debts. Seems like that ought to be about 90%, amen. 30% are afraid of getting AIDS, and 25% of natural disasters, earthquakes, and things of that nature. And so I believe it's fitting that one must have the Holy Spirit in their life. You see, there are a lot of people, they have the Father, they have the Son, but they and the Holy Bible. They've replaced the Trinity. They've put the Holy Bible in this place of the Holy Spirit. And I am an inerrant, I'm a Baptist-educated theologian. I'm not a theologian, but I went to a Baptist seminary, amen. So I know theology, and I believe in the inerrant word of Scripture, but I'm going to tell you this morning, there's no substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible didn't save me, my friend. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost saved me. The Bible didn't save you. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost saved you. And so we're not to replace His power with a class, with a small group, with a study, or even a church service. The Holy Spirit, that power that Jesus left us with, is the power that endues us, that indwells us, that gives us the strength and the courage to witness, to press on when we don't feel like pressing on, amen. To move forward when we don't feel like moving forward. To stand up here and sing when inside you're hurting and broken. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. But the peace that John speaks of here, and that Christ was speaking of, number one, is a reunited peace. Everybody say reunited. It speaks of unity. And Pastor David, I know you taught on that two Wednesdays ago, and then I spoke about it at our staff meeting briefly. But notice that it says in verse 19, it says, when the disciples were together. When the disciples were together. You know, Peter had denied Christ. Judas had betrayed Christ. He had died in front of them. They'd been scattered about. They went into hiding. But when they were together, amen, there's a peace that comes when we reunite, amen. There's a peace that the Holy Spirit can bring when your marriage is having trouble, but you decide to reunite and give it a go, amen. There's a peace that comes when that friend or that coworker that you've upset or that you've made mad or that they've hurt your feelings, that you decide to forgive that person and reunite with them, amen. There's a peace that comes. When they were together, it says. That was interesting to me. There's something that happens when on Sunday we all get together. When we all get together, remember that old hymn, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, amen, we'll sing and shout the victory. There's something about when we're together. You see, this idea too of home church. You know, Lord, speak through me this morning. You know, these people that leave a church over something stupid and say, well, we're just going to start our own little deal, one or two people. My friend, how are you going to reach people doing that? Now, every now and then God calls us to start a church like He did this one, and God's blessed it, amen. People have been saved and baptized and clothed and fed. I'm not talking about a church start, but when you're outside of the will of the Holy Spirit and you go off on your own thing because you're mad at the pastor or mad at this or mad at that, and you try to do your own little thing out from under authority, God's not going to bless that, because there's something about being together in unity, amen. I'd like to give honor this morning to Martin Luther King. His anniversary there was Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And a lot of people think I'm just a white, big old country boy. But the truth is, when I started preaching, the first message of CDs, and I told our folks Wednesday night that I listened to, how I learned how to preach, was by listening to sermons by Martin Luther King Jr. Knock at Midnight, An American Dream. Those were the sermons that I cut my teeth on learning how to preach. It's very hard to get them now, but I've got them, amen, and I don't loan them out much. But A lot of people have tried to categorize or characterize who he was, and he was so many things. But he loved Jesus Christ, and he loved the Word of God, and he loved all people. And he served Atlanta, Montgomery, Alabama. He served until the day he died. And when we're talking about peace this morning, I thank God for him, who said he may not get to make it there with us, amen. He'd seen the promised land, but he may not get to make it there with us. But when I see that we have an African-American president, I think some of his dreams have been realized, amen. When I see that in my house, there are people of all different colors that fellowship with me at my house, I know that Dr. King's dreams was made true, amen. So why don't we thank God for a man of God, amen, this morning, that loved Jesus, but that it was a preacher of the gospel first, and out of that love for Christ, he became a leader to a people and to a nation. Let's give him honor this morning. But it's a reunited peace this morning. And that was his dream, that we would be in peace. But the Bible speaks of three types of unity I want to cover quickly this morning. One is unity with God. Maybe this morning you're outside of the will of God. If you're in sin, my friend, if there's unconfessed sin in your life, if you've done stuff that you feel guilty about, you can't sleep at night, you have anxiety, you're depressed all the time, you keep looking back at what you used to be and you can't move forward, then my friend, you're not at peace with God. You either need to get saved this morning, or you need to ask God to forgive you. You need to ask God to fill you up with the power of His Holy Spirit. But first is unity with God. Are you in a unity? Are you in union with God? That's the first type of unity. The second is unity with man. Amen? Unity with your brothers and sisters. That's what Dr. King talked about. He talked to the poor. He talked to all types of people. He could sit with the poorest, uneducated people, and he could sit with president and kings and talk to them about the love of Christ. When he talked about unity with man, you know what he wanted people to love each other. Not based on what color their skin was or how much money they had. He preached against poverty as much as he did racism. He preached against poverty. I can remember one of his sermons, he was telling a story about they'd been put in jail. They were having a march and they'd been put in jail. And the white officers kept saying, y'all need to shut up in here, because they were singing hymns, amen, in jail together after they'd been locked up. And Dr. King said, and I can't imitate him, I wish I could, but he said, how much money do you make, officer? And he told him how much they were paying him. And he said, well, you should be marching with us. But it talks about unity with man, amen. Unity with man. Are you holding a grudge this morning against someone that's hurt you, someone that's offended you? Are you holding a grudge this morning? Only you can answer that question. But maybe God's speaking to your spirit and you say, you know, I haven't forgiven that person. I haven't forgiven that person that hurt me. I haven't forgiven my parents. I haven't forgiven some people. Maybe you need to forgive some people this morning so that you can be in unity with man. But there's a reunited peace. But next, unity with the body of Christ. Unity with body with the body of Christ. Romans 13. Romans 13. You know, there's also something to be said for being in unity with the body of believers. Being in unity with your church. Amen? And I don't know how to be anything but blunt. Maybe I'll get better. But if someone comes to you, and I'm not saying that would ever happen at T-Top, but we've had it happen at Abba's house, haven't we, Rob? If someone comes to you and says, now let me tell you what. Let me tell you what I think. First thing you should say is, I don't care what you think. Amen? But let me tell you what I'm going to tell you something about Pastor David. Or let me tell you what Yvette said that really hurt my feelings. Or let me tell you what Pastor Ronnie said in his message on Sunday that I didn't like. Or let me talk about some financial decisions the church has made. If someone comes to you in the church and says that, you know what you ought to do? You ought to get out your Bible and take them to Matthew 18. And say you're a gossip and a gadabout, and you need to go to that person's face and quit trying to sow discourse in the house of God. Because God's not going to bless that. If you need to pray for somebody, and don't fake it. Some people want to call a prayer meeting to gossip about somebody else's kid or their friend. I want you to pray for so-and-so's kid. They've done this and this and this. And that. But my kid, he's at Harvard, you know. I've seen that happen too, you know. unity with the body of Christ. Romans 13 says, and the NIV says this, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. God has established this church, amen. God placed T-Top here to serve this community. He placed us here to feed the hungry, to clothe the homeless, amen, to love people, to preach Jesus Christ. God has placed this church here, and He's put the people in authority that He wanted here. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. You know, if you say something about Pastor David or Yvette or me or one of your leaders or Keith or Bobby or any of these guys that are leaders, Larry, you're not talking about them, friend. You're offending God. Because those are the leaders God has placed to see this church on through. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I just want to speak truth to you. If you know of someone that's outside of this church, outside of the will of God, that's been trying to sow discourse, you need to, in love, tell them they're wrong. And they need to be back in this church. And they need to be a part of the unity and a part of the Holy Spirit, what God is doing in this season, in this new season. And we'll talk about that a little more next week. But there's unity with God, unity with man, unity with the body of Christ. So it's a reunited peace. Next, it's a redemptive peace. Everybody say redemptive peace. Verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. There were two types of peace that Jesus discussed here, and we're going to talk about the first one. The first one we talked about was basically through faith in seeing Jesus Christ. Through redemptive peace, that is, we've seen the risen Savior. We've seen the marks on Him. We've seen His side pierced. We've seen and we believe. That's the first type of peace. Now we have peace because, see, up until that time, everything Jesus said hadn't come to fruition. So when they had seen Him, now they have faith. Now their faith is built up, amen? And that's one kind of peace, having your faith built up. And a lot of people ask the questions. It says in His glorious body. They saw Jesus in His glorious body, but they were able to see the scars in His hands, in His side. Have you ever asked yourself the question, if He was in His new resurrected body, His glorious body, how come He still bore the scars? I thought we were given a new body. There's two things there, that just conclusions that I believe we can draw from that. One, there are some mysteries out there. Would everyone agree with that? There's some things that I believe the Lord doesn't want us to know till we're in His presence in heaven. There's some things that we just ain't going to be able to figure out. And if you're going to receive all that the Holy Spirit wants you to have this morning, we need to stop trying to figure it out. Amen. Some people are so busy trying to figure it out that they miss God. Could you imagine if the disciples, when they saw the, if they would have said, well, now let me examine your hands to make sure you were really dead. Or let me see. Now, I mean, they didn't care. They were in the presence of God. Does that make sense? They were in the presence. When you're in the presence of God, it doesn't matter. Amen? They were in His presence. They were with Him. And I don't know about you this morning, but there's something about just being with Jesus. Amen? There's something about just being in His presence. There's just something about that peace that He brings when you know and you have assurance of your salvation. Man, I'm saved. Man, I have a future. Man, I've been blessed. Oh, man. They were in His presence. They didn't care how the scars got there. So there's some mysteries. Oh, but there's a magnificence to it, too. There's a magnificence to it because, you see, it says that they saw Jesus in His glorified body. But you know what? I don't believe the scars or the pierced side, I don't believe that was a mystery at all. I believe that was magnificent. I believe those are the two things that made His body glorious to begin with. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes we bear the scars of our past. We bear the scars of the things we've been through. We bear the scars of hurts that of other people have placed on our lives. But bless God, sometimes those scars that we bear, amen, are what makes it so magnificent. And I believe when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ and we know how the Roman soldiers, how they played a game with Him and they put that robe over Him and they would take turns hitting Him and would take the robe off and make Him guess which one was punching Him in the face. They spit on Him. They put a crown of thorn on His head. They made a mockery of Him. So when He comes and after the third day, see, everybody talks about the death, but they forget about the resurrection, amen. They forget that He defeated Satan. They forget that He appeared to these disciples and breathed the Holy Spirit onto them and commissioned them so that we can be having church here 2,000 years later, amen. There's something to be said for some scars that say, hey, I've been through something. Hey, I've been through some stuff that I can't explain, but bless God, I've been resurrected by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and I've been changed, I've been filled up, and there's something to be said about those scars. They may be a mystery to some, but to me they're magnificent because they show what He went through, amen? And we can recognize Him because of it. So it's a redemptive peace. Next, it's a restful peace. It's a restful peace. In verse 21, the Lord's not repeating Himself there. It's a different kind of peace than a redemptive peace. It speaks in verse 21 of a restful peace when He repeats, when He says, peace be unto you. How many of you need some rest in the Holy Ghost this morning? Just need a Holy Spirit nap, amen? Just needs a rest in the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to have to get over your fear this morning. Because I'm going to lay hands on you this morning. And I don't claim to be a healer. But I know the one who's in me is. And I'm going to lay hands on you this morning. Those of you that have faith and that need some rest in the Holy Ghost. And I believe God's going to give it to you. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That was Jesus, amen. That was one of Dr. King's favorite verses as he preached to people that were beaten and thrown into jail and mistreated, couldn't make ends meet. He would often quote that verse because he knew people needed rest. And not rest that can be offered on this world, but a rest that comes from that dimension into this dimension, rest that's unexplainable, amen. Holy Ghost rest. And that's the type of peace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was speaking of. But finally, it's a regenerated peace this morning. It's a restful peace. Some of you may need some rest this morning. Worry and anxiety and everything else. Can't sleep. Holy Spirit will bring you rest. But it's a regenerated peace. Verse 21 again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whew. Breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus is commissioning His disciples. They've seen Him resurrected. They're filled up with the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine what's going through their mind? I believe their mind, they're retracking everything the Lord ever said. I think they're going back to the Luke's account when He said, ask and it shall be given to you. I think it goes back to John 14:16. It says, and I will pray that the Father, He shall give you another comforter. I love the King James version of that better than anything. He says, I will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. I believe at that moment the disciples received regeneration and rejuvenation. Amen. Even though Peter had messed up, Judas had killed himself, they all had some doubts, I'm sure, and were worried. But I'm telling you right now, at that moment, He breathed the Holy Spirit on them. And that was enough, my friend, to get them to begin to start churches. It was enough for Peter to preach at Pentecost. Most people saved ever in one place at one time. The gift of tongues fell on the place. And everyone could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do you need from God this morning? What do you need from the power of the Holy Spirit this morning? Maybe you're one of those like, I was for a very long time, and you're very skeptical of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're skeptical of what He can do or what He's about. But as I've said before, there ain't nobody that'll love you like Jesus. There ain't nobody this morning that'll give you peace like Jesus. God began to speak some things to my spirit while I was taking some notes. And I thought of Simon Peter, who we've talked about before. You know, it's one thing to know this word. It's one thing to live this word. But it's another thing to know the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter was the one that recognized that Jesus was the Christ, wasn't he? But then shortly after that, he was saying, don't go to that cross. Don't go do that. You see, sometimes you can recognize Jesus, but still miss something He's trying to do in your life. And the Holy Spirit is a precious gift that we have. It's not a gift, my friend, that you have to take advantage of on this earth. You can let it alone and leave it on the shelf right where it is. And you can read the Word and love Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, somebody with a past like mine, somebody that's had to bury their best friend, someone that's been on drugs, someone that's struggled in the world, someone that's been through heartache and pain and disappointment and embarrassment. My friend, I needed a touch from the Holy Ghost. There was nothing else that could replace it. I needed a touch from the Holy Spirit. Some people want to talk about the tongues part of it. Some people want to talk about the falling out part of it. Bless God, I didn't care what it was. I just needed an answer from Jesus, amen. I needed the Holy Spirit to indwell me and endue me and move through me. I needed peace in my life, my friend. Do you need peace in your life this morning? And I'm not talking about the peace the world has to give. I'm talking about the peace that those that have left before us know. The peace that Dr. King knows right now, amen. That spiritual peace that only comes from that other dimension. Do you need peace this morning? You can believe in Christ. You can follow Christ. But if you're not indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on a great gift. A gift that, as we've talked about before, bears the fruit, the strength, the joy, the patience, and the new peace. I wrote something down that God gave me last night. And I want to close with this. Verse 21 again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a beautiful gift from God. Its practice is often abused, exaggerated, and laughed about on this earth. The Holy Spirit, my friend, may be abused, may have been abused, but I got news for you, it's often used. It may be abused, but it's often used. It may be exaggerated, but it still endues. The Holy Spirit may be laughed about, but by this young Baptist preacher and by many others, even Dr. King, it's still lived about every day on every continent in this world. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And if you've got the Father and if you've got the Son, but you don't have it, my friends, you need it. You need it. It's what gives you peace like a river. Is it well with your soul this morning? Bow your head and close your eyes. I've said a lot this morning about being reunited with man and being reunited with God and being reunited with your mate. And I've said that I'd rather experience the Holy Spirit than explain it. But I know who can bring it to you this morning. He is the Prince of Peace, prophesied by Isaiah. Says He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes this morning, we've been healed. That's the God I serve. And that's the God that'll save you this morning. You say, Pastor Ronnie, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. Well, the first thing I'm talking about is the Prince of Peace. If you've never had peace in your life, you've never experienced a relationship with God this morning, you can do that now. You can do that by giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do that? It's simple. You just ask Him. Like it says there in Luke 11, just ask and it shall be given to you. There's no method. You don't even have to pray the prayer the way I pray it, my friend. You just need to understand that He's the Prince of Peace, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that He lived and died for your sins and sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you, and that He loves you. He doesn't love you because of what color you are. He doesn't love you because of how much money you have. He doesn't love you because of how good you are. He loves you because He created you. That's the Jesus I serve. And the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means that every last one of us has been out of unity with God at some point in our life. We've all sinned and fall short, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But my friend, young people, listen to me. Kids, children, adults, listen to me. But if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means you can go to heaven. Young people, there's a hell, an unquenchable fire where sinners go, where I deserve to go, where many other people in here, we deserve to go there too. But at some point in our life, we put our faith and our trust in this Prince of Peace. We put our faith and trust in Him. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, first of all, I want you to pray this prayer with me so that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you can know, and you can have peace that one day if you die, you'll go to heaven. Say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, You are the Prince of Peace. Please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Please come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Amen. And there's those of you that have the Father and the Son. But if you're sick this morning, we've got some anointing oil. I want to pray for you. If you have a lost friend or family member that needs prayer, I want to lay hands on you this morning. If you say, Pastor Ronnie, I know the Word of God. I've been in church my whole life, but I don't have peace. There's something inside of me that's missing, and I need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. He's here this morning, and we want to minister in that Spirit with you. As Pastor David comes, if you want the Holy Spirit or you've just asked Jesus into your heart, if you want prayer this morning, if you're sick, or if you want to stand in for somebody that's not here, I'm going to ask you to come. All who are burdened and heavy laden, come this morning. Come.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.